And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, How Manny Got Into Seventh Grade, was written by Mark Siegel.
A question was once asked of Rabbi Joshua ben Carhan. Why did the Holy One, blessed be He, choose to speak to Moses at Mount Horeb out of a thorn bush? Then Rabbi Joshua answered, so as to teach us that there is no place on this earth free of the presence of God. God is everywhere, even in the lowly, even in a thorn bush.
I have a birthday this week. I'm going to be 16. And birthdays, well, somehow they get you to thinking. You know, about when you were a kid. I was a funny kid. I remember one summer when I was 10, I thought I knew everything. Of course, I've outgrown that now. But then I thought I knew everything, absolutely everything. One day, I was walking down the street when I met my father. Well, walking isn't exactly the word for it.
One. Two. Three.
Manny, what in the name of heaven are you doing?
Oh, hello, Pa. Four. Gonna take my violin lesson, Pa.
When are you supposed to be there?
In a few minutes, Pa. Five.
It'll take you an hour to get there this way.
I'm sorry. Six.
Look, Manny, what's this crazy jumping and hopping down the street?
If my right foot lands on the crack in the sidewalk 10 times in a row...
Yeah?
Seven. I'll have a good violin lesson. Mr. Rasputin won't yell at me.
Oh. You're sure?
Sure, I'm sure.
Come here.
Hey, Pa, let me go, will you? What are you doing?
I'm going to help you on the next jump. You'll never make it otherwise.
My father's like that. A little old-fashioned, maybe, but, well, he's nice. So's my whole amazing book-reading family. We used to sit around the table nights, reading books and eating peanuts.
Manny, remember... Only one peanut to a page.
Yes, Uncle Amos.
And don't read so fast.
Why, Uncle Amos? What's wrong with reading fast?
Well, nothing, Manny, nothing. But it's bad for your digestion.
One hot June night, after the dining room table had been cleared, I and my amazing book-reading family were doing what we usually did after dinner. Reading books. Except for my father. He was doing what he usually did after dinner, composing music. For over 2 hours, the only sounds in the room had been my father's lovely music, the turning of pages, the cracking of peanut shells, and the scratching of my father's goose quill pen on the music paper in front of him. I was just reaching page 249 in The Three Musketeers by Dumas. I was about to bite into my 249th peanut when something which had been gnawing at me for quite a while bit me. I slammed my book shut and announced,
I've decided. I want to meet God.
The
boy's gone crazy all of a sudden.
Quiet, Amos. Stop your laughing.
Manny, what's that book? What are you reading?
Three Musketeers, Mama. A very poorly written book.
And what's it got to do with God?
Nothing, Mama. It's just that I decided I want to meet God.
He's crazy. In one breath, a book review and a desire to meet God.
Amos, please. Boys who express an interest in God should not be laughed at. Unless, of course, they express an immoderate interest in God.
Oh, in the whole history of our family, I never heard such a thing.
Well, I have. Frequently.
If you ask me, he's lost his mind from eating too many peanuts.
I'm not asking you.
Go ahead, argue. I'm calling the doctor.
Why the doctor?
A tonic. He needs a tonic.
He doesn't need a tonic. He's a philosopher. Everybody knows that.
A philosopher. That's what we need in this family. A philosopher.
Mama, what was the first word he said? Do you remember when he was 11 months old?
Of course I remember. 11 months and 2 weeks.
Well, what did he say?
He said, why?
You see, Amos, I told you, he's a philosopher.
Huh?
Look, Pa, all I said was I wanted to meet God.
Don't say it again, Manny. We heard you.
Everybody, please, be quiet. This is an emergency. It calls for concentration.
Everyone obeyed my father. We were all as quiet as if we were at a funeral. Nobody cracked peanuts. Nobody read. Nobody even dared breathe. Except me. I dared do anything with my father.
Well, everybody, I've decided.
Good. I'll call the doctor.
No, don't bother with the doctor. I've decided.
Decided what?
I've decided that the boy's interest in God is not immoderate. Manny.
Yes, Pa?
Come outside with me. We'll see if you can meet him. Now, tell me all over, Manny.
It's like I said, Pa. I want to meet God.
You mean you want proof that there is a God?
Excuse me, Pa, but I don't go in for secondhand things.
You're a philosopher.
Maybe I am and maybe I'm not. I just want to meet him face to face.
Good. Let's take a walk around the block.
We walked around the block. We walked around it twice. Then we sat down under a huge elm tree on the soft, sweet grass of June, far away from the lights.
Manny, do you see the stars up there?
Yes, Pa, I see them.
There's millions.
I know it.
They move exactly on schedule. They never change.
Like a clock.
Yes, like a clock. Now, suppose there was no traffic system to keep the cars downtown moving right. They'd bump into each other all the time, wouldn't they?
I suppose they would.
Well, there's a traffic system that keeps the stars moving the same way. It's God.
Maybe they don't bump into each other because they're so far apart.
Yes, that's possible.
Maybe once upon a time there used to be more of them, closer together. So they destroyed each other, and those that are left have all the room they need. Maybe that's why they don't bump now.
Yes, it could be like that. Manny, maybe we'd better go home. I don't think you're going to meet God tonight.
We went home, and I went to sleep. But for that night, and lots of nights after it, I dreamed all kinds of dreams. All about God.
Manny.
Did someone mention my name?
Manny, do you believe in God?
Well, I don't disbelieve in him, if you know what I mean.
Are you sure?
Well, sure I'm sure. Well, that is... Well... If I just had a little proof.
Manny,
Come over here.
I'm coming, Ma.
Sit down, darling.
I'll sit down, but please don't call me darling.
Why not?
I'm 10 years old.
Oh, sure, you're 10 years old. Now, if you're so big, maybe you can explain something to me.
Sure, Ma. What do you want to know?
Well, you keep saying you want to meet God. What I want to know is, why? Why do you want to meet God?
Oh, is that all, Ma?
Yes, that's all.
Well, it's on account of summer school.
Uh-huh. Something's wrong at summer school? You just started last week.
No, it goes back further than that.
Further?
Look, Mom, you know my violin lessons?
Sure I know them. $2 a lesson. Why shouldn't I know them?
Well, Mr. Rasputin, my violin teacher, sometimes he yells at me and sometimes he doesn't.
So?
So I found out if my right foot lands on the cracks in the sidewalk 10 times in a row on the way to my violin lesson, Mr. Rasputin doesn't yell at me.
Oh, Manny, that's just being superstitious.
Superstitious or not superstitious, that's how it works.
Well, darling...
Don't call me darling.
All right. But what's that got to do with meeting God?
Well, confidentially, Mom.
Yes?
Well, confidentially, sometimes on the way to my violin lesson...
Yes?
Sometimes I cheat. A long step, a short step, you know, to make it come out right.
Foolishness on top of foolishness. But I still don't understand. What's this got to do with your wanting to meet God?
Look, Mom, I just started summer school. I want to pass.
Why shouldn't you pass? You're not studying?
Oh, of course I'm studying. But, Ma, suppose there's a man with a long beard sitting up there in the sky.
You mean God?
Yes, God. Suppose there is someone up there deciding whether I pass or I don't pass.
Well, Manny, honestly, I don't know if that's all that's occupying God's mind.
But if he is up there, Mom...
Yes?
I have to know it. I can't take long steps and short steps and cheat him.
My mother's a very practical woman. She was even then. The very next day, she went to see my teacher.
Miss Regan, my boy, Manny...
Oh, a very bright lad, Emmanuel. Sometimes a little condescending, but very bright.
Well, Miss Regan, he studies very hard.
Well, yes, I'm sure he does.
Miss Regan, he's a good boy.
Yes, Emmanuel's certainly an obedient child.
But why shouldn't he pass in summer school?
Not pass? Why, my dear lady, he's at the head of the class. He's leading the rest of the class by a string.
He's... Miss Regan, you don't know the half of it. It's not only the class he's leading by a string.
Well, what can I do?
Pa, for some reason he's afraid he won't pass. Just tell him the truth. Tell him there is a God and to stop worrying about it.
I tell him. He won't believe me.
Can't you make him believe you?
You can't make anyone else believe anything, Mama. Don't you know that?
I know I can't make you believe me. But it's important that Manny's mind should be put at rest. Do you see what he's looking like lately?
I see, but I can't make him believe it. And that's the way it should be, too. He'll have to learn to believe in God for himself. Just like everyone else.
I'm only asking you to try again.
All right, I'll try again. The question is, will Manny try again? Now, listen carefully, Manny.
Sure, Pa.
Once upon a time, there was a great king who worshipped idols.
Another story, Pa?
Another story. Now, this king told a rabbi that unless the rabbi could produce his God face to face the very next day, the rabbi's head would roll in the streets.
Oh, that's a very unpleasant picture, Pa.
Yes, it is. But this rabbi was a very wise man.
Oh, like you, Pa.
Well, yes, I suppose so. Now, listen and stop interrupting.
Okay, Pa.
So he said, "Sure, O great king. But first, come on outside. I want to show you something."
What did he show him, Pa? The stars and how they don't bump together?
No, he showed him the sun and told him to look at it. The king couldn't look right at the sun because it hurt his eyes.
So what does that prove, Pa?
The rabbi said, "King, if you can't even look at the sun, which is only one of the many things God made, how in heaven's name do you expect to see God face to face?" Do you get the moral?
Sure, I get it.
Thank goodness.
But it doesn't satisfy me.
It doesn't satisfy you?
No.
Why not, Manny?
Well, Pa, somewhere in the Bible...
Yes?
Somewhere in the Bible, doesn't it say that the old prophets used to speak with God face to face?
Boy, I must have driven my father almost crazy in the next few weeks. He told me all kinds of stories. Good stories, too. But none of them satisfied me. Finally, one day, after some kind of a row he had with my mother, my father took me aside very quietly.
"I'm going to tell you something, but I don't want you to breathe it to a soul."
"Sure, Pa."
"Not to your mother, even. And especially not to Uncle Amos."
"Oh, I can keep a secret as good as the next fellow, Pa."
"Good."
"What is it, Pa?"
"If you really want to see God face to face..."
"Oh, I sure do, Pa."
"You can."
"I can?"
"Yes, you can. If you keep asking God long enough and hard enough..."
"Oh, I'll do it."
"And if God is sure you really mean it."
"Oh, I mean it all right."
"Good. There's something else you should know if you're going to meet God, Manny."
"What, Pa?"
Sometimes God's too busy seeing somebody else. Then he sends his personal representative. Would that be okay?"
"Oh, sure. I guess that'll be okay. So long as I know it's his personal representative."
"You'll know when the time comes."
"How, Pa?"
"Well, never mind. You'll know. Now, remember, not a word of this to anyone."
"Oh, not a word."
"Good."
"Hey, Pa."
"Yes, Manny?"
"You're not kidding me, are you? Just because I'm only 10 years old?
"No, Manny, you know I never kid anyone. Unless it's your mother once in a while."
Now, my father is an honest man. I know that from many occasions. For example, he used to lose at checkers with me all the time. And once I asked him, was he maybe letting me win all the time? And he said, just like that,
"Yes, to tell you the truth, I'm letting you win. Little boys should always beat their fathers at checkers. It's a rule of fatherhood."
So I know, and I knew then, that my father was honest. I thought to myself,
if he says so, it must be so.
And I began to pray. Every morning on the way to summer school, I prayed,
"Dear God, just think of disgrace to my whole book-reading family if I don't pass the sixth grade in 6 weeks.
I summoned up every argument I could find.
My mother will say,
"Oh, it was too hard for him."
But you and I know it isn't too hard. And Uncle Amos will laugh his head off. And that's not too good for his health. So for the sake of my poor book-devouring family, and really for my sake too, God, please let me pass to my just reward, the seventh grade."
I had a second prayer, too.
"Oh, God, don't let me waste my valuable time praying to you if you aren't real. Let me see you face to face like the old prophets in the Bible. Just one look, oh, God."
Every day, for almost 6 weeks, I prayed for just one look. But I didn't see him. Towards the end of the 6 weeks, I got a bad case of the maybes.
Maybe God is really there, but he's keeping undercover out of shame, because he's already decided to flunk me.
The more frightened I got, the harder I studied. And I got 100% in all my preliminary exams. But I was still afraid of flunking, because the final exam was still to come.
Maybe he's teasing me, starting me off with 100% and planning to give me a zero in the end.
Finally, there was nothing left but the final examination.
Emmanuel?
Yes, Miss Regan?
If you're quite through with your examination, you may leave.
Yes, Miss Regan.
And next term, see if you can overcome the strange little habit you have, Emmanuel.
What strange little habit, Miss Regan?
Of mumbling under your breath while you write. God knows what makes you do it.
Oh, yes, Miss Regan. I hope he does.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, nothing, Miss Regan. When do I find out if I passed, Miss Regan?
Tomorrow morning, Emmanuel. Tomorrow morning at 9.
The next morning, I started out for school earlier than usual to give myself and God a good last chance. I crossed the South Street Bridge, praying hard all the way. I turned on Washington Street and headed towards school.
Oh, God. In just 3 minutes, I'm going to turn the corner at Union Street where the traffic light is broken. Walk into school. You've got just 3 minutes, oh, God, to save me and my family from everlasting disgrace.
I was worried about something else, too.
If you don't show yourself to me, God, I'll have to stop believing in you. But I'll also have to stop believing in my father.
Still, there wasn't a soul on the street. Not even a sparrow. I was reaching the corner of Washington and Union. Once I turned that, it was all over.
Oh, God, I'm going to turn the corner now. Please send a representative. Let him be around the corner. Let him have a long black beard. Please, God, please.
I took a deep breath, clenched my fists, and turned the corner. There was a man there. He did have a long black beard. It seemed to me that there was a special glow in his face, a kind of light I'd never seen before. I didn't know what to do. I just stared at him wildly.
Why are you staring, boy?
I beg your pardon, almighty sir.
That's all right. By the way, boy, what time is it?
Oh, just 9 o'clock, almighty sir.
Thank you. Now, you be a good boy.
Oh, don't worry about that, oh, sir.
I won't. Goodbye now.
I bowed from the waist, and I watched until he turned the corner. Then I raced into the school, and I almost knocked poor Miss Regan down.
I'm sorry, Miss Regan. Goodbye, what? Miss Regan.
Well, just a moment, Emmanuel. Don't you want to know if you passed your examination?
Oh, I know, Miss Regan. I passed.
Well, how do you know, Emmanuel?
I couldn't say, Miss Regan, but I just know.
That evening, I joined my amazing book-devouring family after dinner. In the center of the dining table was a fresh 5-pound sack of peanuts. From the shelf, I took down The Three Musketeers and opened it to page 251. On the way to my place at the table, I stopped and whispered,
I passed, Pa.
That's fine, Manny.
And Pa?
Yes, Manny?
I also saw his personal representative today.
Really?
He had a long black beard, and he asked me what time it was.
My father pulled at his short goatee twice, nodded his head, and said,
That's very interesting, Manny. I expected you would.
You know, it's funny, the things you can believe when you're 10. For a long time, I thought God's agents had beards. Well, I'd seen him, hadn't I? I'd looked and I'd seen him. I was a crazy kid, I guess. Because I looked for God and saw him on the corner of Washington and Union. But now that I'm 16, I wonder. If you look for him, Really look. Won't you see him everywhere?
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. David M. Bloomberg of Knoxville, Tennessee, chairman of the National Youth Commission of the B'nai B'rith Youth Organization and a prominent civic leader. Mr. Bloomberg.
Our dramatization of today illustrates how Manny had acquired from his father a simple faith in God's justice and loving kindness. The representation of the divine spirit gave him confidence in his own ability to pass to the seventh grade. Yet without his own application to his studies, he could not have achieved his goal. But today's drama suggests that we take a closer look at the role and status of young people in this part of the world. What have we done with our almost limitless resources to help prepare rising generations for the responsibilities which they inevitably inherit? More specifically, what are we giving to our young Jewish children? A sense of pride and confidence because they are Jewish. It has been said that American Jewry is fast reaching the point of spiritual suicide. Though some would question this statement, there is evidence to support it. Seldom do we find a parent whose Jewish education extended beyond bar mitzvah or confirmation. We have leaders of synagogues and temples who are wholly illiterate in the Jewish heritage, even though there exist today wonderful opportunities to improve themselves through adult Jewish education programs. There are about 1.5 million homes of Jews in America, but there are few Jewish homes. How many Jewish books do we find in the libraries of our Jewish friends? How many pictures on the walls represent Jewish themes? How many discs in the record collections render Hebraic melodies? Planting the seeds of Jewish knowledge and understanding in such Jewishly barren soil is like attempting to plant a fruit tree on the shores of the Dead Sea. But all is not lost, for peeping through the clouds of ignorance and apathy is a growing desire on the part of many Jewish parents to develop a Jewish environment for their families. Better programs of adult Jewish education are coming forth. We find a strengthening of a Jewish educational services all the way up the ladder, and young people are beginning to take advantage of Jewish educational facilities on the college level. And there is definitely a growing eagerness on the part of our Jewish teenagers to identify themselves with Judaism. Thus we can feel optimistic that soon we will see many parents helping their sons and daughters find the same simple faith which many found in God's justice and loving kindness.
Thank you, Mr. Bloomberg. Our eternal light drama today, How Manny Got Into the Seventh Grade, was written by Mark Siegel. It was adapted from the story entitled God's Agents Have Beards by Emmanuel Winters, which is included in the book The Bar Mitzvah Treasury by Azriel Eisenberg. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Ronnie Gates as young Manny, Sam Gray as the father, and Bryna Rayburn as the mother. Others in the cast were Owen Jordan, Alice Uhrman, and Roger DeCoven. Our narrator was Ronald Liss. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.